Clear.
Okay, now it's
You're
written.
fine? Perfect. Absolutely. I'm so happy to see you. I'm here today for Pax Europiana. We are changing now to Günther's podcast. And I'm here, of course, with my mission to bring Austria in NATO. I think you can see that very easily,
Yes.
very clear. And I'm very honored to have a guest from Finland today online, because Finland is, of course, the country where they have sisu, where they have power, where they have courage, and where they did it. And they did it so well. And I was seeing a CNN interview with one of your heroes, which brought you into NATO by a people's petition in 2022. And I couldn't believe it, because my fingers got really hurt already by thousands of tweets which I have put out with Finland cross-flagged with NATO flags for about 5 years before 2022. And I was really a lonely person. And everybody was joking me, nobody will ever do that, it won't happen. And suddenly it happened, and Finland is now a proud ally of NATO. And you have changed your history, you have changed your future, and you're contributing to Ukraine's victory so much and to the defense of Ukraine. And I'm proud to talk to one of the proud Finns who has achieved that, contributed. And I would like now today investigate what you have done, why you did it, what's the difference between Finland and Austria. And please, first of all, Jonas, introduce yourself. I'm happy to have you on my show. Please, the floor is yours.
So my name is Jonas Vaara. I'm a student at the University of Tampere, and I study German language and Germanistics as well as international politics. And I wanted to join this podcast to especially talk about this Finnish and Austrian approach to NATO, because I'm a very long fan of yours, and I want
Thanks
to
a
take
lot. That's
this
very kind of you. You follow me on
I
this?
want yes.
Thank
I
you.
wanted to take this opportunity to discuss this matter and perhaps even inspire other Finnish people, perhaps even like more influential than I am, to join this podcast.
Yeah, Mr. Stubb, we want Stubb. We
Yes,
want Stubb.
exactly.
I'm a big fan of him because he was already in conservative youth politics when I was around in the 90s, but
Yes.
he always believed in NATO. And he made it possible, and he became the president, and he is my absolute idol.
Yes, he's a absolute idol in Finland as well. He has brought Finland to the world stage by befriending, the Trump administration and doing all these amazing, very, very inspiring diplomatic efforts.
I like him a lot. I'm not sure he will
Yes.
join my podcast, but if you're good friends and you play golf with him, tell him we are here. And the next time he comes to Austria for a state visit, he should push our lazy friends in the power of Austria to copy his success. That would be really wonderful. And we have to learn so much from Finland. But tell me, how was it to be a neutral? And why have you been neutral historically? And what changed in order to find you the courage to join the alliance and to help Ukraine?
Yes, the Finnish neutrality is very long tradition. I believe the neutrality, like the want to stay in, away from NATO and such, was largely dependent on our own military power. Because we wanted to, say that we are powerful enough to defend ourselves against the foreign aggressors, not entangle ourselves with foreign affairs. But the Ukraine war changed everything because Russia broke the sovereignty of Ukraine, and the Finnish populace and the government as well unanimously agreed that neutrality was not in the game anymore. We had to change our approach to foreign policy. Before the war, I believe the anti-alliance like movement was about 70-30 ratio, but now after the war it changed to the opposite. So the majority.
We want the same in Austria. We want the same.
Yes, and when the bill came to the government, it passed almost unanimously with 184-7, and
Wow.
that was a very very like big show of Finnish unity, despite policy, despite what we disagree on. NATO was our future.
Thanks a lot. That's really so important because you are the borderline country to Russia.
Yes, Finland. I think Finland only gains from being in NATO. We do obviously get this NATO support in case of conflict, but also Finland has a lot of experience with Nordic warfare, Arctic warfare, icebreakers, you know, that deal with Trump, you know, those are our expertise as well. So Finland only gains from being in NATO, and we
And did
don't.
your country change already? Because my thesis is always that it's not only a defense alliance, it's also a value alliance. And once you are fully in, you're all these kind of balancers and Putin understanders, and they are getting a little bit in the minority because you feel that you're part of the free world and you're no longer so easy to co be corrupted from Russia. Like I know many former Finnish prime ministers were also in the
Yes.
pay of Putin on some Rosneft boards and other things. Yeah, so you have a similar tradition to Austria. So did this change now in the alliance?
It didn't change as much as you would like to perhaps believe, because our values were very close to NATO, and we weren't doing a lot of co-exercises with NATO prior to the alliance. So when I was conscript, it was a lot said that the agreement to join NATO was only a signage away. It was kind of like a very close, despite our long neutrality tradition. So yeah, not a lot changed, and now we just take NATO membership as a fact. And if you see in social media perhaps some people that impersonate Finnish people, I guarantee you almost every Finnish person agrees that NATO is good. I have personally never heard or seen or met any persons that disagree on this. I believe those are from Russian bot farms and trolls.
Perfect. You are the perfect country. And how can we make Austria Finland again?
Well, that's why I want to discuss like what keeps Austria? Why do you have this like insistence of not joining any military alliance? Because you have campaigned a lot for Austrian NATO membership, but could you like open up like why do not Austrians want this? Do you like
Because
the
most
Alps keep?
Austrians were told in the school that we are neutral, we are for peace, and the others are not neutral and they are for war. And we love
Yes.
ourselves to be very special, peaceful people. And so we think staying neutral will save us from wars and it will be making us happy and everybody loves us because we are neutral. We don't harm anybody and nobody will ever harm us. That's the short version. There's other issues as well, like the identity issues of Austria, because we are distant from Germany, because we are neutral. And otherwise, somebody could think that we should be much more like Germany. And no, but we are neutral. And so we have distanced ourselves from the crimes of the Second World War by being neutral, being nice, being not responsible for nothing. And this has been turned into some kind of self identification myth of Austrians in the generations before me and still today. And so we are a little bit stuck and we see ourselves different than Finland because you have the border with Russia and we are in the
Yes.
middle. We have always some Slovaks and Hungarians and Ukrainians to die for us in between. And we just applaud or watch or tell them that neutrality is even better. That's the short version of the immorality and anti-solidarity and irresponsibility of neutrality of Austria today.
So, do the Alp Mountains give a literal moral high ground to these matters to Austria?
Additionally, you know, there is always still some kind of feeling, I would call it alpine, I don't say white supremacy, but alpine moral supremacy of the Swiss and the Austrians, because we think we are rich because we deserve it, we are secure because we are nice people. And the rest of the world should just send us their money and buy our products and send us less people and less problems. This is, I think, a little bit comedian short version of it, but it shows that we have never really arrived in the European Union, that we are not really feeling as European, but we're feeling as distinct kind of superior beings, blessed by God with peace. And that's the short version which our politicians told via the public media, the populace, and via the school system for decades. And it's very hard to change because we are in the middle of Europe, contrary to you. So people feel not afraid because nobody will attack us. America will anyhow save us. And the rest of the Europeans will help save us, and we will not save you. That's the solidarity Austria thinks is justified.
Is there also an economic style to this? Does Austria make a lot of deals with Russia? Because prior to joining NATO and closing the border, the eastern border, Russia was the biggest import partner, or perhaps even export partner of Finland. So we had a lot of to lose as well with the NATO membership. But now we have changed our approach. So just
I
want your
admire
thoughts.
what you have achieved, and it shows it's possible because in reality, Austria didn't trade a lot with Russia. We don't have this direct border. We don't have really big trade when it comes to manufacturing or any kind of goods. We have a very small trade balance with Russia. The only exemption, of course, is gas and oil. Gas and oil was always big items, and we had historically the role of being the hub for Russian gas in Western Europe. So in neutral Austria, close to Vienna, is the so-called gas hub of Baumgartenkirchen, which was the most strategic asset of Austria and the only one of global significance, where the gas of Russia from Siberia came since 1968. And of course, where the gas comes and continues to the big markets, Italy and Germany, to the richest part of Europe, it turns into dollars. And then the dollars were best for the Russians often to stay in Vienna, in the Viennese banking or capital market or property market, in order to buy other things which they needed because they were a defunct economy. They needed dollars and they needed technology. And Vienna was the trading hub for turning Russian gas into American dollars and ultimately into American or other technology and import goods, which the Soviet Union really urgently needed. And there was a certain subsector of the Viennese business world which was living from this kind of, I call it contrabanda, smuggling. And this was basically the undermining of the Cold War embargo of technology for the Soviet Union via Vienna. And it has benefited to some extent, of course, a few who were involved in that one. And a little bit also, we had cheaper energy. That was the myth. And so, Austria in the shadow of Germany and Yugoslavia, we have lived somewhere in this kind of Cold War disaster for 40 years until everything collapsed and we had to adjust. But still, the system was very much Putin's inheritance, which he took on in 2000, in 99. Because he spoke German, he loved Austria, and he thought it's extremely useful to have Austrian friends. And the rest is history. And for another 25 years, this Soviet Union system has continued in Austria. And a lot of our former prime ministers and politicians were serving on Russian corporate energy boards. And some of them even were dancing at weddings with Putin himself, which I'm sure you have seen.
Yes, so could we call this like, because Finland had this thing in the Cold War called, Finlandization, where Soviet Union had its invisible hand in Finnish domestic and foreign policy. So could we call this new phenomenon like kind of Austrianation, where Russia kind of has its own hands in
You know,
Austrian policy?
absolutely. Austrianization, when you call it, this is the complete undermining of the political, institutional, secret service, and media environment in order to serve Russian interests. But it was never so secret because ultimately the Soviet Union has liberated and then occupied the eastern part of Austria. Vienna was completely surrounded and half of it was Russian occupied. And the deal for neutrality was never meant that Russia leaves, Soviet Union leaves politically. It was always meant that they leave militarily and administration-wise, because that was, of course, what we wanted. But the Russian military machine was just in Czechoslovakia. You can drive in an afternoon from with a tank division from Bratislava to Vienna. It takes you 3 hours to reoccupy Vienna if you want it when you are the Soviet Union in the 70s and 80s. And so we lived always under the hammer of a potential Russian reinvasion. And of course, we lived always politically that the politicians knew that very well. And then the whole Austrian establishment was trained for 2 generations, do not provoke the Russians. And you cannot believe what my father and my political mentors told me. Günther, NATO, are you crazy? You will provoke the Russians. They will come back and you are guilty. Do you want to do that? And I said, no, let's be honest. Let's join NATO completely and we will be much freer nation. But, you know, Putin's influence is still very strong today in Vienna.
Yes,
And so it's not so easy to get this done.
after the Finnish enter like membership of NATO, Russia did move a lot of its troops from the Finnish border to towards the Ukraine. So why do Austrians, after all this time, you have seen, we have seen, like, even like neutral Sweden, which does not border Russia, it joined as like the same time as Finland. So why is the whole thing so complicated in there? Don't you see where the world is going?
I see your point, and because actually Finland is not such so famous country in Austria, but Sweden is. You know, during the Cold War, Sweden was always the role model, which the socialists, the Austrian socialists, because of the connection with Olaf Palme and Kreisky in the Austrian media, it was always like, you know, we should be like Sweden. Sweden is the best. Sweden was the benchmark for excellence in the Austrian public service, public good, for everything for about half a century. So being like Sweden should be a very normal thing for Austria and Austrians, because we are like trained to be like Sweden in education, in welfare, in redistribution, in all these things. And now when I stand up, let's be like Sweden and join NATO. You know, that hurts them very badly, the neutralists of Austria. But Sweden additionally has not only been joining NATO, but they have given 7 billion euros of military aid to Ukraine on a bilateral basis. While Austria, and that's my moral problem with neutrality, because it has real consequences. Austria has given zero to Ukraine in terms of military, not even demining equipment, nothing. And I always
Yes.
say at my events, when I stand up and ask the politicians when to join NATO, I tell them, I ask them, please, how many lives could have Ukrainians could have been saved, if Austria had sent 7 billion of air defense to Ukraine in the last 3.5 years? At least we could send some military weapons when we don't want to be giving up neutrality. But no, under this cover of neutrality, we do simply nothing, because we don't want to provoke Russia and we want to keep our self-illusion, our delusional construction and self-view alive, even when it's absolutely time to dump it on the garbage place of history.
Yes. Even prior to the NATO membership, Finland was a very avid supporter of Ukraine. When I was, still conscripted during the process, I learned some things that I probably cannot even now disclose because they were so secret. But Finland was a very strong supporter of Ukraine, and still is. We have sent a lot of packages and military equipment, to Ukraine, and even politically, because during the process of entering, our populace was very concerned that the populist party, the Finns party, would be against the membership. But the spokesperson, Jussi Halla-aho, he held a speech in Ukrainian in the parliament, which was very out of nowhere for most of us. But he is not the spokesperson anymore, but yeah, that was a very big thing, and I think it was the final nail in the coffin for Putinists in Finland, that the
Perfect, yeah.
popul even the
No, even you
populists
have a
were.
broad consensus for Ukraine because you are good people. But in Austria, we have a party, it's called the Friends of Putin in Austria, FPÖ, and they
Yeah,
are
I know.
one by one taking over the Russian position. Some claim even they have this Russian embassy sending them the application and what to do in the parliament of Austria. I don't know if that's true, but they are really one by one the Russian position, and many of them have been going to the Crimea referendum in 2014 and have big business links with Russia. And this is really the problem because they are like the huge defenders of neutrality. And then that's led by Kickl. And the rest of the politicians are afraid that he will attack them and use neutrality against them. And because it's so popular, they're all trapped because secretly, most serious Austrian politicians know that NATO is very good and that Austria should join and that Ukraine must be supported militarily. They all know that. But they have like an omerta of silence because of fear of Putin and Kickl, because they are afraid to lose their jobs because this is such a popular, holy in kind of instrument and symbol, this neutrality. And that's the trap we are in. And we need international help to get this done. We need Stubb to come here and push us into NATO. And we need the Swedes and the Germans and the Italians. We can only do that with international help because we are so much kind of trapped by this Putin-Kickl neutrality myth.
Indeed. Isn't one of your government parties, the NEOS, aren't they pro-NATO membership? And
Yeah,
even.
but you know, they lack the balls. The problem is,
Yes.
yeah. They are good and many of them are in favor of NATO, but they wanted to put a vote in the party convention because they are a very good party. They have like an internal democratic system. They have this transparency thing where you can have all the members can vote and they have a very good consultation for policies. But they have postponed it again because they were afraid, even when the EU thing is in favor and some of the members in the parliament are in favor, and the leadership is like watching the polls, thinking about the government stability, being afraid of the shitstorm, being afraid of giving Kickl a topic which he can campaign on for 2029 to gain the power. And so they have postponed it again because I told them, you know, we don't need such a party because if you are a reform party, which is anyhow looking only to opinion polls for her position, then we can go directly to the Austrian People's Party and work with the establishment figures and try to change them. And that's exactly what I did, even when I like NEOS very much. But I tried to change the Austrian People's Party now from inside and to transform them because, you know, it was the party of the EPP. And in 1995, when we joined together with Finland and Sweden, this was Niinistö and Carl Bildt, and on the Austrian side, Wolfgang Schüssel. And we were all in favor of NATO, obviously, you know. And it was even in 96, it was a kind of a meeting in Salzburg. I remember from the EDU, that was the successor of the predecessor of EPP, and they all talked together. And I was there at the meeting that once we have the opportunity, we'll all join NATO together. But the Austrians have failed because of Putin's influence and our own fear and the lack of conviction. And I congratulate the Kokoomus Party of Finland because you have the balls, yeah? You simply know what sisu is. You know how bad the Russians are. You have this kind of mentality of steel, which you need to win. Yeah, I'm sure it was not easy to change the public opinion in Finland, but you did it. Congratulations to all your heroes and congratulations to the Swedes. But I'm very sad for the Austrian People Party's leader, who basically, while against their better knowledge, because they all know what they should have done. But in 2022, when you did it, there was a moment in March where it could have been done all three together. And then invitation to Biden and let's go. And it would have been possible, but they lacked the courage to do it. And so we are stuck.
Well, I believe you are on the right track because your foreign minister is the spokesperson of
Yeah,
NEOS.
Beate, she's very good.
So
Beate Meindl.
yes, but Doesn't that reinforce the idea that the silent majority, as you said, are, kind of leaning towards the NATO membership? So I think Austria is on the right path. It just needs a little more kick in the butt
You
to
know,
get
but
it, right?
it's also a problem with the international diplomacy and the way we do it in European Union. I really cannot understand that. I talk to all, because I worked internationally, I know how to talk to the embassy. I talk to all of them, many of them, and then they say to me, Ginter, this is your fight. We are neutral towards neutrality. So I say, how did I come? We are in the European Union together, Finland and EU, Austria. We are united by Article 42.7 of the EU treaty that we have to defend you, huh? And we have to be so in solidarity in case of war. But they were not really interested to really do something. And that's the sad story, because you cannot, when we are in a political union like the European Union, we cannot be neutral towards each other's defense situation. Because the industrial political might of Austria is not available for Ukraine and it's not available for the common defense. It's absolutely wrong not to intervene because we're doing so many things in Brussels together. We vote about consumer protection, environment protection, workers' law. We vote about everything together and we build a political union. But the Finnish diplomats are not able, because of their respect for Austrian sovereignty, to say a very simple sentence like, please join NATO. And the only one who had balls was the president of Poland, the historic leader, Lech Walesa. He came to Austria and he said, guys, you are cowards. Go to NATO. Welcome. And then everybody was upset. But the diplomats, you can retire them all. And really, this is such a shameful position of the American, Finnish, Swedish diplomats, because they are simply saying, oh, I understand, to some extent, the Ukrainian diplomats, I know also very well. And then he tells me, yeah, we get humanitarian aid, we get political support, at least the Austrians are not vetoing in the European Council, the peace initiative. So we have to work with them, they are, and okay, but the Ukrainians are in that position. But why the Finns or the Swedes are not confronting our guys and say, hey guys, what you do is immoral, what you do is wrong? I have no understanding for that.
Yeah, I believe we can change this by perhaps not through the big approach from politicians, but I believe from the newer voters, like my age, right? Because we are open to new ideas, new this kind of world, digital age. So I believe we should have more like
So push back
social media
against the Austrian
campaigns.
neutral.
Yes,
Push them
yes,
hard, because you are also on
yes.
X. We can work on X together and, change the world by X. This is my method now. That's why I collect a lot of followers and make a lot of things on my online shop and all these things, because I want to lead the new generation of Europe to much more unity and more solidarity, and name and shame the Austrians who don't do that and stand aside.
My experience with the like the politics nowadays is kind of like the politicians are kind of in a cloud, right? I don't interact with them daily. I watch the news rarely. But by social media that I see their posts, I see what they mean. So I think many my age share this kind of idea that we don't watch the boring TV anymore.
So
Social media
Jonas,
is
that's
the
my proposal for you. Fight Irish neutrality, fight Maltese neutrality, and fight Austrian neutrality, and tell that everybody in the future who wants to come to the European Union should first join NATO. And most important, and here you can to tweet to Mr. Stubb, the most important is that the European Union itself joins NATO. This is the most important. And Finland can make a difference here, because we will be much more united if the EU is able to join NATO. And you, as a new member, you can push new ideas and push that. That's my campaign, actually. EU join NATO, and why not? And then the Austrians can ask themselves if they want to stay in the EU or also join NATO. Thank you very much. And in that case, when that is coming up, and it will come up because we will have the European Defense Union very soon, and then the question is, what will the neutrals do? Stand aside or join the European Defense Union? And you Finns can always say, why shall we die for the Austrians?
We will defend Austria as we will defend the whole Europe.
Thank you very much. Kitos, kitos. But the Austrians should pay their share and contribute
Yes,
as
I
well.
agree. Our role in NATO is to protect the whole Europe and the Finnish Bay from Russian aggression. Austrians can defend the mountains of what Carpathia and such with your expertise.
For example, most important is that the reason why Austria became neutral is also to let Germany and Italy not have a common border. So alone this, the Austrian airspace and the geographic territory of Austria is of course extremely valuable already for NATO interconnectivity. And so alone this would be a big, big heaven sent for NATO if Austria joins. So we should do that.
Indeed. I'm very excited to see what entails in the future.
Perfect. Jonas, I want to thank you very much for this talk and also to your young generation in Finland to be very active together on Twitter and on X and to share information and to work together. And please tell your Alexander Stubb, he has one big fan in Austria and he should come here and ask our politicians if they are still okay and push them into NATO because that's the best way to do it.
I will do this. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And if you agree, I will put everything online and send you the links. And I thank you very much for your insights into the Finnish situation and for this discussion today.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you want to talk in the future, I'm open.
Perfect. Jonas from Finland, a great gentleman, a soldier, a student, a hero from this country, which has sisu. That's the Finnish word for courage. They defeated the Soviets. And they are really ready to help Ukraine as much as it takes for victory. Thanks a lot, Finland. Great you in NATO. And please invite Austria and Malta and Ireland in the future. Bye from Vienna to Tampere.
Thank you. Bye.
I will stop now.